Matthew chapter 5 is the portion of God's word that we read this evening. Matthew 5. Text for the sermon will be verses 14 through 16. This is God's word in Matthew 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversaries quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, Thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. We'll read the chapter that far. May God bless the reading of His Word to us this evening. Let's turn back to verses 14, 15, and 16 and reread those. These verses make up the text for the sermon. God says to us tonight in this text, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill and hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the text for the sermon this evening comes from the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew 5 through 7. The Sermon on the Mount is the sermon of Jesus in which He describes and explains the main truth of the kingdom of heaven. The title, Sermon on the Mount, identifies where the sermon was preached by Jesus. The better title, the Sermon on the Kingdom, identifies what is the main theme of this sermon. In the beginning of Jesus' sermon in Matthew 5 through 7, what Jesus does is describe for us the characteristics of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's the beginning verses that make up the well-known Beatitudes. Those are the descriptions of those who are members of God's kingdom of heaven. And then after those Beatitudes, Jesus gives two more identifications of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. He says that ye are the salt of the earth. And then immediately following that, He says, ye are the light of the world. And it's the second of those that we take up in the sermon this evening. As I look at these three verses, there are, to me, three main ideas that come out of these verses. The first main idea is that Jesus gives our identity. Ye are the light of the world. The second main idea is that from that comes a certain calling. The calling is, let your light so shine. And the third is that there is a purpose or a goal that we have in letting our light shine, and that is so that others might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. So with those three ideas in mind, I call your attention to this text under the theme, Shining as Lights in the World. Let's notice our identity, our calling, and our goal. Beloved, this is an amazing statement with which Jesus begins the text. He says to those who were present listening to this sermon, but just as real as what He says to us tonight who hear this sermon, ye are the light of the world. By that opening statement, what Jesus does is give an identification of who we are. It's even more strong in the original Greek. In the original Greek, what we read is, ye yourselves, emphasizing it. This is who you are. You yourselves are the light of the world. That is, among many other things in the Word of God, our identity. It's very important that we know who we are and that we hear who we are from God in the preaching of the gospel. This isn't us saying, I'm going to tell myself who I am and figure out who I am, because we can be clouded in our thinking and we can be wrong in our thinking. We need to hear the declaration of Jesus to us as a true church of Jesus Christ and to us who are believers tonight. Ye are the light of the world. You're not darkness. There's darkness in us. We're going to get to that in the sermon, but that's not your identity. That's not at the root who you are. Jesus does not say, you are darkness, but there is then some light in you, and let's talk about that light. No, the identity is clear. You are light. And not just light, you are the light of the world. That is so important because our identity shapes the way that we think about ourselves. It shapes the way we believe. It shapes ultimately what we do in the lives that we live here on this earth. What we're faced with then at the outset of the sermon is how it is possible that Jesus can say to us this evening, this is who you are, the light of the world. Now, before I explain that more directly, understand that we're dealing here with figures that are found in the scriptures from the beginning to the end. The figure of light runs from the very beginning to the end of the Bible and is representative of a whole host of different things in the Word of God. But generally speaking, light pictures in the Word of God everything that is of God, everything that is in harmony with God, the kingdom of heaven, truth, holiness, life, salvation. All of that in different places in Scripture are represented by light. And then over against that light is its antithesis, darkness. And generally speaking, darkness in the Word of God represents everything that is opposed to God. Satan, the kingdom of darkness, sin, the lie, guilt, death, hell, wrath, judgment, destruction. Light, darkness, and the two could not be any more antithetical to each other. And beloved, that's how God created this world. In the beginning, the first thing God created was light. And over against that light, darkness. So the fact is, every single day, we have staring at us in our face the pictures of who God is, what we'll get to, the pictures of who we are over against who we are not and over against the arch enemy of God, Satan, and everything that is of him. And don't let the figures which are staring at us day after day cause us to lose sight of how we need to use those things in our lives. In light of this sermon, use this in your week. When you wake up in the morning, you're driving to work and you see the sun coming up, think about the sermon that you heard tonight. That's light. That's light coming out of the darkness. This is telling me something about the God whom I serve and about who I am and who I must be in this day. When you're going to school with your kids in this week and you see that sun coming up, or you look outside at night and it goes down and there's the impending darkness, remember the Word of God as you heard it preached tonight. And that gets us into how it is possible that Jesus says to us tonight, ye are the light of the world. And it's three links chained together. Three distinct links. The first is God, the second is Christ, and the third is the believer. How can this be said of us? It's because God is light. 1 John 1, God is light, and in him is no darkness. God is pure, unadulterated, perfect light. In God is all life. From God comes all truth. God is the perfectly holy God, separated entirely from all that is sinful and corrupt, and consecrated to himself as the highest good. The source of all light, and therefore life, is in the living God of heaven and earth. That God who is light sent Christ, his only begotten Son, into this world. And it's the Jesus of Nazareth who walked the face of this earth, who was truly and fully God and truly and fully man, who proclaimed to those before whom he stood and to us in the Word of God, I am the light of the world. Jesus, as truly and fully God, was righteous and perfectly holy. Jesus, as truly and fully God, brought forth from his lips all that was truth. Jesus, as the only begotten Son of God, is the one in whom is all life. The God of life sent his only begotten Son, who is the light of the world, so that through his work, we who are utter darkness by nature, through faith in Jesus Christ, might hear this declaration, ye are the light of the world. You see, beloved, all of the light is found in God in Jesus Christ. And we all know who we are by nature. It's not the declaration of our identity according to this text. By nature, our identity is very different. It's darkness. It's guilt. It's death. It's members of the kingdom of Satan. And the only way for us to be lifted out of that darkness and for us to be said concerning, you are the light of the world, is if we are united to the source of that light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in him, through his lifelong obedience to the law of God, and in him, through his atoning death on the cross, there is life. Everyone who is united to the Lord Jesus Christ, the source of light, for everyone for whom that is true, this is their identity. You then, not because of who you are by nature it's darkness, but in Jesus and in Jesus alone, in whom is light and life, you are the light of the world. For you children to understand this, think of a light bulb. How do you make a light bulb give off light? For a light bulb to give off light, that light bulb needs to be connected to a source of power. I could take a light bulb and I could screw it into this wooden pulpit all day long, and nothing's going to happen, and it's not going to give off light. Why? Because there's no power in the wood. It needs to be connected to a source of power. And when the power is there, the light shines forth. How are you going to shine? How do I shine? The only possibility of our shining is that we are united to the source of power. The power which is our life, which is the living God, in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who earned our life by his righteousness and by his atoning death on Calvary's cross, so that our darkness and the death that we deserve has been defeated and conquered. This was the testimony of these seven young adults tonight. This is what you said tonight. You said tonight by your confession, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I look to Jesus Christ and put my trust in Jesus Christ, which is to say, I am united to the Lord Jesus Christ. so that when Christ says to me tonight from this pulpit, you are the light of the world, to that you say through your personal faith in him, amen, it is true for me. That's your confession in this evening. And that's the reality for everyone who is united to Jesus by a true and living faith. It's not just in the text that ye are light. He says, ye are the light of the world. And in that phrase, Jesus makes clear that there is a sharp contrast. And he says something by implication of what is true of the world. The world, by implication here, is that which is darkness. On account of Adam's fall into sin, which fall into sin brought guilt upon the entirety of the human race to follow, the fruit of that was utter, deep darkness. And we all live in this world, and we all know that we are surrounded by the darkness of this world. Death is a constant reality in this world. And death is a reality in this world because it's the fruit of and the result of sin. The lie abounds. Corruption, iniquity, godlessness is that which floods the world in which we live. We are living in a world of darkness. And Jesus says in this text, in that world which is darkness because of sin, guilt, and death, and the lie, you the church, you believers, in that dark world are light. It's like turning the whole sanctuary's lights off at night. It's pitch black in here. That's the world. And then some people pull out their phones or a flashlight, and you've got a cluster of lights over there and over there and over there and over there, and it's all radiating forth. And throughout scattered are little lights that make up the light of this sanctuary. That's what it's like in the world today spiritually. Here we are tonight in Hudsonville, Michigan. Believers, true church of Jesus Christ, we're a little shining light. With all the other true churches of Jesus Christ the world over that make up the light of the world. Now from this identity, we can say comes two very important implications, and I describe them with one word. So we've got the main identity. You are the light of the world. And from that, you can have two branches that come off. And each one has one word on it. One word over here is must. M-U-S-T. We'll come to the must in a little bit. But over here, you have the one word, will. W-I-L-L. You are the light of the world. If that is true for you, there is a must. You must shine. We'll get to that. But if you are the light of the world, there's something more fundamental that is true for you and for me. And that more fundamental point is you will shine. If that's your identity, you will necessarily shine as lights. And I believe that the two figures that Jesus gives after this statement of identity say something about this will shine. The first figure is that of a city set on a hill. The end of verse 14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. In Jesus' day, Jerusalem being an example, the cities were set on hills for strategic purposes. And the point here is that if you are in the vicinity of that city, because it's on a hill, it is impossible that those who are in the vicinity of that city can't see the city. with its towers, with its buildings, with its walls. If you are in the vicinity of that city, by virtue of where that city is built, up on a hill, you will see the city. It can't be hid. It's like going into downtown Chicago at night, not on a hill per se, but the same idea rings true. Going into downtown Chicago, as you approach that city, you cannot but see off into the distance the skyscrapers lit up that indicate to you there is downtown Chicago. And that's what's true for the child of God. This is who you are. You're the light of the world. If you are light, those in the vicinity of you will see that you are shining as light. Because that's what you do. Because that's who you are, as the light of the world. The second figure solidifies this even more. What Jesus says in verse 16. Or rather 50, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. What Jesus says here is very simple, but at the same time, it's profound. The point is, if you light a candle, it is against the very purpose of the candle in being lit to take a bushel or a bucket and put it over the candle so that you can't see the light from that candle. It defeats the very purpose of the candle in the first place. The only reason to have a candle and to light that candle is so that that candle gives off light to those who are in the room. And likewise, for the believer, for the true church of Jesus Christ, this is who we are. This is what God has done to us. God has taken us who are in darkness, and by the gift of faith, He's united us to Jesus Christ so that He can say to us, you are the light of the world. It goes against the very work of God for us and in us. It goes against the very purpose for what God has done in us, then to take a bushel or a bucket and put it over us so that we don't emanate light. This is who we are. And if this is who we are created by God and redeemed by God so that we will do that which God has made us to do. With the light of Jesus Christ in us, we will give forth life and light in this world. And I explain this will partly as an encouragement to us tonight. That should be an encouragement to us tonight. You who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're shining right now. You have to be shining right now as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because Christ is in you. Here's the testimony of that. What are we doing right now? We're in the true church of Jesus Christ at 6:03 p.m. on Sunday night. The lights of the building of this church are on, and in this building are believers who have their lights on shining. You could hear me preach what I just preached and say, yes, but I don't shine. I have so much darkness in me, and I take that bucket and I put it over me all the time in my life. And yes, there's truth to that, and we'll say something about that in a little bit. But be encouraged right now. You're shining. You're in the building whose lights are on, and you are here. And that is a testimony to the world out there that this is what your life is all about. It's about the church. It's about Christ. It's about living for Him in your life here on this earth. If this is our identity, ye are the light of the world. The one branch says you will shine. But that does not mean that we don't need to hear the other branch. And the other branch that comes from that is you must shine. And we need to hear this. And now we're getting into the calling as it arises out of the text. We need to hear this because the fact is, even though our identity is light of the world, there is, as every one of us knows, so much in us that is still darkness. We have that old man of sin that clings to us, and we will continue to have that until the day that we die. That old man of sin that loves and is like a magnet to the things of this world. And that old man of sin that the devil plays off us to tempt and to lead us down the paths of sin. That's always there. And so on this side of the grave, we need to hear constantly this word of God, which says, let your light shine. So let your light shine, just as that city set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light shine, just as you don't take a candle and put a bucket over it to cover it. Let your light shine, which is to say this, constantly, all your life long, every day and every week, go to the source, go to the power, go to where that life comes from and where the light emanates from, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to say, recognize the darkness. See the darkness. And take that darkness that comes forth from you and bring it to the foot of the cross and seek the forgiveness of God in Christ from it. And looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your life and your light, then you have the power, then you have the desire, then you have the motivation to go forth letting in these ways your light so shine. We need to hear, though the will is true, still the must. Let your light so shine. I haven't explained it yet in the sermon, but I think we know what that means and how we do that. To let our light shine means that we live in such a way that we glorify God by the good works that we do as they arise out of a true and living faith. But Jesus himself says to us what it means to let our light shine. He says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." What does it mean for you to let your light shine in this world? It means that you live a life of good works. And here we can be thankful for our confessions, which help us to know what those good works are. Good works are things that we do, according to Lord's Day 32, out of a true faith, in harmony with the perfect standard of God's law, as they are aimed towards the glory of God. Live your life before men, Jesus says, doing good works as the light of the world. Now there is a question as to what type of good works Jesus has in mind when he says this in verse 16. Are they the good works according to the first table of the law, what we do relative to our walk with God? Are they the good works according to the second table of the law, our relationship with our neighbor? Are they the good works of those who are in positions of teaching as that goes forth from the church? A lot could be said about those things. I am convicted that the good works are general in one sense, but also particular in another. And the particular type of good works that Jesus has in mind here are what he identifies in the text. The good works that we do before men. The whole point of Jesus in Matthew 5:14 through 16 has an eye on before others. Every point in the text draws us to that. Ye are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hid, meaning it's going to be seen by others. A candle, you don't put a bushel over it, but it gives light for those in the room. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The type of good works, the particular type of good works that Jesus has in mind are the things that we do publicly. The things that we do before others in this world in which we live. Not our private life of good works, but our public life of good works. And in that particular way, I believe, then it becomes general. In a certain sense, the answer to the question of what then are those good works before men, you can say that it's the rest of the sermon as Jesus preaches it in Matthew 5 through 7. If I were preaching a series on the sermon on the kingdom of heaven, you get after this point into all of the things that Jesus gets into, all of the clear commands of this is what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God. All of that can be viewed from the point of view of our text, which is to say they are explanations of what it means to let your light shine in the world as members of the kingdom of heaven. So that'd be one way to go forth in applying specifically what these good works are. I'd like to make tonight a few comments relative to the occasion. We have here tonight a lot of young adults. We had 7 young adults confess their faith tonight. And so now as we come to the point in the sermon in which we hear the must, and the must is good works before others, I'd like to apply that in 3 particular ways this evening. You young adults, let your light shine in this world before men by maintaining your membership in the true Church of Jesus Christ and by living in all of your life in harmony with the confession that you made tonight of what you believe concerning Jesus and what you believe concerning the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a fundamental way in which you young adults and you others who are here, and for all of us, we let our light shine before men. Here we have the context of the sermon in mind. The context of the sermon is the kingdom of heaven. Membership in the kingdom of heaven. What does that look like here on this earth? What it looks like here on this earth is that you are a member of a true Church of Jesus Christ instituted on this earth. To let your light shine before men is to plant yourself in the true Church of Jesus Christ and to go forth all your life long as a member of a true Church of Jesus Christ. That's the testimony to the world that you make every Sunday and twice on every Sunday concerning who you are. This is what my life is all about. I live my life not for Friday. I live my life not for Saturday. I live my life not for the job that I have Monday through Saturday. I live my life for the Church of Jesus Christ that I am a member of. The Church of Jesus Christ in which I worship as often as I physically can, as God gives me the ability to the glory of God's name. That's letting your light shine before men. And then, with your membership in a true Church of Jesus Christ, your confession that flows out of that, on the Lord's Day, and every day before men in this world. Young adults, young people, unashamedly speak to others about your love for Jesus Christ. Make it clear to those with whom you have acquaintance and a relationship in this world, whether your friends that are part of the church or those with whom you have contact outside of the church. Be unashamed, be bold to say, at times explicitly if you have opportunity, but the way in which you speak and live all the time, what's most important to me is that I am a follower of Jesus. What I live my life for is to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, who I love with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, is my Savior, my Lord, and my Redeemer. The purpose that I have on this earth is to live my life not for myself, but for Him. And the words that I speak about what is the truth are the words that bring honor to my Lord and my King. That is to say, I confess the doctrines of grace, which means so much to me as a recipient and object of that grace. Young people and young adults, be unashamed in your life in this world to stand before any man or woman or other young person and say to them, I love Jesus, and He is my Lord and my Savior. And the gospel I confess means everything to me. That's letting your light shine. And hopefully throughout your life you have opportunity to say it as explicitly as that. You're not going to say it as explicitly as that every time. But hopefully you have opportunity at certain times to say it in that exact way. But then at all the other times, what you say and how you live makes clear this is what your life is all about. In the second place, young people and young adults, you let your life shine by having friends with whom you are one in the faith, and by living with your friends, doing that which honors and glorifies God. Here we talk about our social lives, with whom we are hanging out, and what we are doing. Again, Matthew 5 through 7, Sermon on the Kingdom of Heaven, citizens of the Kingdom of Heaven, by implication, light of the world. The world is darkness. You are light, and you live in this world of darkness, shining as lights, when those with whom you are friends, those with whom you have close relationships, those whom you hang out with, are fellow lights shining in this dark world of sin. And then what you do together on the Friday nights, and on the Saturday nights. In a certain sense, it's easier just to go straight to the negative, because the negative just drives it home very clearly. You're not letting your light shine when you're at the Grand Valley State University party on Friday night, excessively drinking. You're not letting your light shine when you're with your friends planted in front of 75 inches of high definition, being entertained by the sex-filled, violence-filled, taking the Lord's name in vain, filled entertainment and filth of this world. It's just as simple as that. And those are clear examples, but I think needed examples today for our young people and young adults. To those at that party, to those in that room, what you are saying by that is very clear. Though I, on Sunday, am the light of the world, on Friday and Saturday, I want that one foot in the darkness of that world. Young people and young adults, It's who your friends are, fellow citizens in the kingdom of heaven. It's what you do. Think about what you do and ask the question on Friday night, on Saturday night, are we shining as lights in this world? I make one more specific application in this respect, and this is striking in light of the day and age in which we live. And that is that what we do in private is now, because of the world in which we live, public. People of God, our witness to this world in large part comes through, because of the day and age in which we live, what we do on the internet and what our social media accounts look like. We do it in private, but the moment that you hit upload or send, that's public. And that which is public is our witness, is our shining, or is our covering of who we are as the light of the world. And yes, this too is needed in our midst. It needs to be for every person sitting here this evening, for every young person and young adult, it needs to be crystal clear that who you are is not darkness, but that who you are is light. By every picture that you post, by every person or thing that you follow, by every comment that you make. Now, are we sinners? Yes. Do we sin in this respect too? Yes. And that's why hear the word of God tonight. Hear the word of God tonight in such a way that you believe the word of God tonight. And you say in response to believing that word of God, now what do I need to do so that the witness that I give, not just in what I do, but what I post, write, and send, is the clear testimony I am, as a follower and believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And here too, the negative makes it so clear. If on your accounts, you're following that actor and that actress and that musician, all of which are of the world, you are saying by that, I want one foot in the darkness. If the pictures you post are those of being at a concert of a worldly musician, you are saying by that, darkness. If the pictures that you post are with the beers in your hand and the background indicates there's partying going on there, it's darkness. If the pictures you post are that of yourself or others in immodest clothing, eliciting the lust of those who look at them, it's darkness. People of God, it needs to be light, all light, by what we post and by what we say. And that too is just important, what we say. And so with as much strength as I can say it, I urge everyone to examine with a magnifying glass the social media accounts that we have, so that when others see Protestant Reform, young people, young adults, and families and adults, what they see on those accounts and what they read is light. This is who we are. This is who we are. And now we need to live in harmony with who we are as lights in this world. And we need to do this for the right goal. And the text makes clear what our goal must be. That's the end of the text. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Why are we doing this? Why would we want to follow what I just said? It's so that others would see our good works. Now, not selfishly. Okay, it's not look at me. Of course not. Jesus goes on to say, if you pray to be heard or you give to be seen, that's abominable to God. It's no longer a good work. It's out of pride to the glory of self instead of out of faith to the glory of God. It's not that you may be seen by others so that the attention is directed to yourself, but rather, it's so that in others who see you and your good works, they may see the power and the source of those good works, which is Christ, who is in you. And that will be our goal if we understand this. If you understand the darkness that you were in, the guilt and death and destruction and wrath that you deserved, and the work of God's grace in Jesus to lift you out of that and through faith unite you to Jesus Christ so that your identity is, I'm the light of the world. The most amazing thing that could be said about us tonight, which means I have life, I have hope, I have heaven. When you understand that, then the goal is very clear. God be glorified. God be glorified in everything I do. I want others to see my good works, not so that they say me, but so that when they see that I'm a member of a true church, and when they hear this is the gospel I confess, and this is the Reformed faith that I love, it directs them to the one who is the source and power of that life, Jesus Christ. So that when others see how I live my life, they don't see me, but they see the one who is in me, Jesus Christ. And when we love God and are thankful to God in that way, we desire that He is glorified by those good works we do, so that others, if it is God's will, would in turn be led to glorify that same God. That's the way we need to live our lives. Do we care about those with whom we have contact and relationship? If we care about them, we want them to have the same light and life we have. And by our life, living as lights in this world, God may be pleased to bring someone to a knowledge of the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they are brought into the church of Jesus Christ, His body and bride, and there in turn are led to glorify our Father in heaven. Many will reject it. Many despise it. Many push it away and hate it. But may God be pleased through our shining as lights in our everyday life, in our confession of the truth, in our life in the church, to be used by Him in such a way that others who see those good works are led to glorify God, who is our Father. Young adults, you're the light of the world. That's your testimony tonight. You will shine. You're shining tonight by God's grace. Now go shine by looking by faith to Jesus, knowing Him as your Lord, living for Him in obedience and in thanks. And may God use that to lead others to glorify our Father who is in heaven. Amen. Father in heaven, bless Thy word as it was preached tonight. May it fall upon hearts which believe, and may it have an effect upon us in this week to come. Hear our prayer, Father, and forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing now.